In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today in the Orthodox Church, we hear the parable of the rich fool, as it is so often called. In the Gospel, we hear of Christ talking about this foolish man, this man who asks where he will store the abundance of his crops after what seems to be a fruitful harvest. And so today we are told of the rich man full of wealth, what was perhaps we would think of as God's blessings, who receives from God a good harvest and wishes to have some place to store the great abundance of his crops. He reasons with himself. We can tell that he is anxious a little bit as he asks himself, "What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops." And out of his reasoning, he comes to his own conclusion about how his future is going to unfold. He says, I will tear down my old barns, barns which seemed perfectly sufficient for him, since he was already a wealthy man, and I will build larger ones, and there I will store all my new grains and all my goods. The parable is so straightforward and plain to us that I could probably finish this sermon right here and now, and we could all go home knowing not to be like the foolish rich man, because he wasn't thankful for his abundance, and he didn't give any of his abundant grain to the poor. But there's a bit more that can be said here. Yes, giving thanks to God is significant. Yes, feeding and caring for the poor is necessary. But simply hearing this doesn't actually do much. The greater concern for us should be, how can I become the kind of person who gives thanks to God when he blesses me with riches? How can I be the kind of person who loves and cares for the poor, filling their stomachs with the fruit of the earth, instead of storing it in storage houses where it will simply rot and spoil? These are the kinds of questions we should be asking ourselves. But to understand this parable, we need to contextualize it within the biblical passage it comes from. See, there's a biblical passage around this parable in which Christ is talking, right? And in this passage, Christ encounters two brothers who have been quarreling over their inheritance, and one of them asks Christ to bid the other one to divide their inheritance among the two of them. Now, this seems like a reasonable request for a worldly savior. Divide equally between me and my brother what is rightfully mine and what is rightfully his. And yet Christ vehemently refuses to do so. And so we need even yet more context as to why Christ does this. Before this parable, and before we are introduced to these two quarreling brothers, something else of great significance happens in the gospel narrative. Christ exhorts the multitude that surrounds him not to fear when they confess their Christian faith, but to fear rather the one who can cast them into hell, Christ himself. And so we can start to see the way in which this parable takes shape within this context. Christ is exhorting the multitude about a fearless confession before God and about the impending tribulation that will come with the persecution of the Christian faith. And in the midst of all this, we have two brothers quarreling, fighting about money. And so Christ shows something about himself to the brothers and to the multitude. He has not come to settle the worldly affairs of the people of Jerusalem. No, he has instead come to show them a different way of living, a sacred way of living. The rich man was not a fool because he was rich. The rich man was not evil because he was rich. The rich man was a fool because he identified his life with his work. His stuff was who he was. Remember what I said a couple of weeks ago, being blessed is not about having a bunch of stuff. This is why he was a fool. Your soul is required of you, God tells him. It is not his harvest that is required of him. It is not his house or his storehouses, but his very soul. And so here is the irony. The man who had such a great harvest was now being harvested himself. His very soul was being asked of him by God. To be honest, I don't even know if this man knew that he had a soul. There was no cultivation of it. He only wished to cultivate his fields and feed his greed. This man thought that what had been given to him was his. He was caught up in this vicious cycle of greed. He was already wealthy, as the passage said, and he had an abundance. And now he needed to know what to do with that even greater abundance that was given to him. The foolish rich man had not yet learned how to let go. He had not learned how to see that which was given to him not as his own, but as God's. The rich man's soul was required of him that night, and what did he have to offer to God? He could not give his abundant harvest. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, as the psalm says. All he could give was himself, the one thing in his life which he had neglected to cultivate. And so I have a simple reminder for all of us today. We are not our work. We are not our houses. We are not our 401ks or the sum of all the stuff we have and that we consume. We are not what others say we are, nor are we generally what we think ourselves to be. This is something we get so confused in today's world. We think that what we do or what we consume defines who we are, when instead, who we are defines what we do. This is especially important when we think about that word vocation, that we are all called out, vocare in the Latin, by God to be a specific thing, right? Sometimes we think it's a teacher or an astronaut or a chef or a CPA, whatever we think it is. And that's all fine and good, figuring out what we're good at using our discernment. But I think it misses the bigger picture. We are called first and foremost to be precious vessels of the Holy Spirit, people made in the image of God. That's why St. Justin Popovich tells us to read the lives of the saints so much, because they show us how to live a holy life and all the different kinds of holy lives that there are. St. Justin says that by the lives of the saints, we can find examples of how a youth becomes a holy youth, how a maiden becomes a holy maiden, how an old man becomes a holy old man, how a daughter becomes a holy daughter, how a peasant becomes a holy peasant, how an emperor becomes a holy emperor, how a teacher becomes a holy teacher, and so on. And what he's saying here is that, again, we are not defined by what we do. It is rather who we are in Christ that should define us. We are beings made in the image of God, stamped, as it were, with the seal of our Creator, a seal shaped like a cross, and we must come to cultivate this in our lives. This is especially difficult in the rat race that is the modern life. Sometimes we labor so hard in the field of life that we forget to look up at the sun that shines on all of us, a sun that calls our very selves towards it. We are sons and daughters of the light and of the day, as St. Paul tells us, and our soul will radiate the very light of our Creator if only we nurture it. So I return to the question I asked at the beginning of the sermon. How can we become the kinds of persons who give thanks to God when He blesses us with riches? And how can we be the kind of people who love and care for the poor? I would say that we must turn ourselves toward the one thing needful. We must live our lives in Christ and not in any other God that we have erected for ourselves. We must see our entire lives as not our own, but as Christ's. We must see ourselves not as lawyers or doctors or athletes or activists. No, we are simply Christians. So often we call ourselves Christians, but we often forget what that suffix, that I-A-N, at the end of the word Christ means. It means that we belong to or have our origin in that which precedes the suffix. So in this case of Christian, it means that we belong to Christ. In this way, as a Christian, our abundant wealth comes to be seen not as our own, but as a gift from God. The only thing of wealth that we can say is our own, even though it is still a gift from God, is our very self. This night, your soul is required of you, God tells the rich man in today's parable. This is what is ours, our very selves. And this is our true storehouse in which we gather the virtues harvested in the field of life. This is what we take with us into the heavenly kingdom. Not a single penny, not even the clothes on our back. Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return, the righteous Job exclaims. Let us therefore take care of the things which are immortal, our souls and those of our neighbors, along with our bodies, which will rise from the dead. This is all that is required of us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.